The fear of the Lord, do you remember?
And I didn't feel we're quite finished with that yet. It's part of our series on wisdom. So we're going to look at some more things about the fear of the Lord. If you want to go to Proverbs 23. Now, what did I say last week? Let me remind you of this. We saw how the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But actually, that word beginning, there's two different words that are used in different verses talking about the fear of the Lord being the beginning. And one means it's the starting point. I've got some powdered stuff all over this. Sorry, I don't want to drop it all over your carpet. It's the starting point It's the starting point, the beginning point, but it's also the primary thing. In other words, we need to understand this. You've got to realize the Bible is showing us that you've got to make the fear of the Lord primary in your life. It's got to take precedence. And that's the beginning point. It's the starting place of wisdom. It's the entry point of wisdom. And so if you really want to walk in the wisdom of God, the fear of God's got to become important to you. Now, last week we emphasized the aspect of the fear of God, which talks about the connection between the fear of the Lord and the word of God or the commandments of the Lord. We saw over and over again, for example, the king was told to spend time in the law of the Lord and write his own copy out. And you see, you're never going to have the fear of God until you give the word of God the place in your life that it's supposed to have. All right. And you can go back and listen to last week's one if you want to. Now, I said that bit first because there's other things about the fear of the Lord. But if you neglect that part of it, you can have, for example, we said that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But, you know, as I said to you, there are people that hate evil and hate pride, but do not regard the word of the Lord and give it the place that they want. So they don't have the fear of God either. You've got to give the word of God that priority. Now let's go to Proverbs 23 and we're going to read a couple of verses here. Now, one of the things we've seen in this series so far, and we've spent a lot of time on this, is there's a connection between wisdom and listening. Wisdom and listening. And we spend a lot of time on that. Hear, listen. But I want to move on to another aspect of this. Doesn't mean we won't say anything more about wisdom and listening, but we want to look at some things about wisdom and behavior, or wisdom and actions. And this is a broad topic as well. How a wise person behaves, how a wise person acts. And the first part of this, we're going to connect into the fear of the Lord here. And I've got a bunch of scriptures. I'm not entirely sure which order they're going to come out in, but we'll just go with it as it comes, if that's all right with you. But Proverbs 23:17 says this, verse 17 and 18, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." Not just once a week, all the day. "For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Now, you're going to see there's benefits to the fear of the Lord in your life. And one of them here, the first one is to recognize a person who walks in the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of God recognizes there's an eternity to live for. And how I live here, my behavior, my actions, has an effect on eternity. So when you're living with an eternity in mind, there's certain things you just don't yield to. You don't do. But notice this, it starts off, "Do not let your heart envy sinners." Now you might think, you know, okay, well, I don't envy sinners, but let's explore this a little bit because it's in the word. You know, it's easy. And the devil tempts people with this. The devil plays on people's minds. No matter how long someone's been a Christian, the devil will play. You go through a rough patch in your life, the enemy will sit on your shoulder and he'll say, "Why don't you just go have a bit of fun? Why don't you just go and do this? Look at all your unsaved friends. You've lived godly all your life. You've done this. You know, you've gone to church all your life. You've lived godly. What have you got to show for it? Why don't you? Look at them. They just have fun. They just do whatever they want. They sleep around. They lie. They cheat. They steal. You know, they don't have any godliness and they have fun. Why don't you?" And the devil will sit on people's shoulder and he will use that. You'll see Christians who've been walking with God who go through a rough patch. They'll go out and do the craziest things and yield to stuff. Okay? And it says here, don't let your heart envy sinners. Do not get to that stage where you're looking, getting your eyes on things in the world in that sense, because the devil will dangle temptation in front of you. Amen? And we'll say, he'll sit on your shoulder and say, you know, maybe, you know, you'll come back to church. Don't worry. Maybe just let your hair down for a little bit and go out and do some things. Hey, your friends lie. Why don't you just lie and go do it as well and just get away with it? All right. But you see, a person who regards the fear of the Lord governs their choices, their actions, their decisions by the code of the Word of God. You don't just, it's not a matter of, you see, in the world, I feel like doing it. I'm having a bad day. I'm going to run out and do whatever I want to do. Yeah. And I yield to things. Like I said, go sleep around, go mess around. But a person who lives by the fear of God, their actions are determined by godliness, not by how I feel. There's a code of conduct. The word says, don't lie. What if I feel like lying? What if I'm in a situation where I want to lie? Hey, we've all been there. Has anyone never lied? I've lied. You lied. We've done it. Okay. We're all growing. I'm not pointing fingers here. But we want to grow. Yeah. So this isn't a pointed fingers situation. Thank God. God's merciful when we've done this. But you see, the verse says there, be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Don't let the enemy pull you into things and say, well, just go let your hair down a little bit. Go have some fun. You're having a bad time in your life at the moment. You know, skip church. Don't read your Bible. Go do this. No. That is a trap of the enemy, and he uses it to lead people right off the path. And again, it goes back to what you're listening to. Amen? All these years you've lived for God. You've gone to church. Being a godly person, what have you got to show for it? Just go have some fun like your non-Christian friends. It's all right. You'll get away with it. Don't worry. God will love you. You can repent later. He uses that to pull people away. But you see, the fear of the Lord will guide you right. Now let's go to Job 28. What did he say? Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Zealous for the fear of the Lord. Job 28. Job 28, verse 20. The previous one was Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18. Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18. But now we're going to Job 28, 28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Again, there's a connection there. You can't get away from this connection. You will not walk in the wisdom of God without the fear of God. And therefore, you will not enjoy the benefits of wisdom in your life without the fear of God. And we haven't, in this series, really covered a lot of the benefits of wisdom. I usually do it toward the start of when I teach on this series. I just haven't got to it. But there are many benefits. The Bible shows long life, blessing, abundant financial income, blessing, increase, health, all kinds of safety, preservation, peace, wholeness in your family, all kinds of benefits to the wisdom of God. Without the fear of God, you will not access the wisdom of God, and you'll not enjoy those benefits. Amen? So this is the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. If you want the benefits of wisdom, you've got to get into the fear of God. There's no walking in the wisdom of God without giving the fear of God precedence. And then he says this, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. Let's examine that phrase a little bit. Depart from means come out of it, leave it. Yes? Why is departing from evil understanding? It sounds like a nice phrase, but what does that mean? Why is departing from evil understanding? Okay? Because when a person departs, comes out of things that are not right, or refuses to yield to things that are not right, it shows they understand a lot more of how things work and what's going on. See, we're going to look at some scriptures, but the Bible shows a fool just does what's enjoyable at the moment. But a wise person understands yielding to things in your life, letting them in, they damage you, they damage your life, they damage your future. They can damage you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It might be fun at the time, but letting it in damages. So not letting it in shows that you understand, don't let those things in because the damage they're going to do. It is it's a realization that a wise person doesn't let it in and then repent later. A wise person doesn't let it in. See the difference? See, you can do it, repent later. Yes, God will forgive you, but you've let the damage in. And sometimes you still got to deal with that. Okay? But it's understanding. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 14, 16. When you begin to understand how things work, you realize, do you know these scriptures are real? Where it says, and for example, we use this for finances, but it's not really directly talking just about finances. Galatians talks about he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the flesh, you sow to the flesh, there's going to be a harvest, isn't there? James 1 talks about when you yield to desires and you're like sowing seed that eventually grows up and produces a harvest of death. Doesn't happen overnight. A wise person, a person who understands the things of God, doesn't sow the seed of death and then repent for sowing it. They understand, don't sow it in the first place. Protect yourself from things and live by a code that honors the fear of God. I'm preaching to the converted. Yeah, I'm not trying to point any fingers, but this is still an important thing, isn't it? Amen. Okay. Proverbs 14, 16 says, a wise man fears. It's not talking about fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of people there. It's the same thing we're talking about. A wise man has that fear of God in their lives. And what happens? Fears and departs from, there it is again, evil. Don't let it in. But what does a fool do? A fool rages and is self-confident. I was trying to figure out what that meant and I was looking it around a little bit. And I got the impression, what I see, a fool rages, it's got the idea of passing over something. Okay, as I was looking at it, the idea that seemed to fit with me of what this is, one of the things this is indicating, is that a fool has the attitude that they brush aside whether this is going to be damaging to me. It's not that important. They just brush it aside. They pass over the consequence. They just do it. They don't care. They just rage. I'm just going to do it because I want to do it. Feels good. It's what I feel like doing today. It's what I want to do right now. It's what I want to yield to. Okay? Do you know that the Bible says, this verse was in my mind during worship, godliness is profitable in all things. Is it? But you see, the enemy will try to tell people, and tries to tell Christians, there's no real benefit to having lived a godly life. What have you got to show for it? Especially when you go through a rough patch. Amen? He wants us into that carefree attitude of a fool where you're just going to do what you want to do. Amen? But doing evil is the way of a fool. Yielding to things. Letting things into your life that are going to produce harmful consequences. A wise person has the understanding, not let it in the first place. Keep it out. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 14:8. And this is how the fear of the Lord, which is built into you by the word of the Lord, then begins to impact your behavior. See, the Bible connects the fear of the Lord to the commandments of God. These days, a lot when you talk about the commandments of God, people, we're not legalistic, we don't have to follow the commandments. A wise person doesn't follow them out of legalism. A wise person follows them out of understanding. They understand why God is saying these things. And they, by faith, follow what he says. This is the way. This is the path. This is how to behave. Where a fool just thinks, they just brush it aside. Like, why did God even say that? God doesn't know what he's talking about. We're just going to do what we want to do. Amen? But a wise person abides by a code. The code of the word, the code of the truths of the word point their way. This is how you respond. And there's benefit to this in your life. We'll look at it in just a minute. Okay? But let's look at Proverbs 14:8 first says, 14:8, Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The wisdom, he understands his way. The way could be the path. He has an, sorry?
This is the way walking.
Yeah, but he understands not just the direction he's going, but as he's going through life, the things he does, he has an understanding of consequence and action. Action and consequence, to put it that way. Okay? Do this, it'll produce positive or negative results. Not just with natural things, but has an understanding of spiritual truths and laws. You can't consistently sow death and expect to reap life. But a wise man understands, as I begin to take steps that sow in the right print things into my life, it will produce the right things in my life. He has an understanding of how his way works. And wisdom then begins to play out as he follows that. Okay? But the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin. See, their attitude is frivolous. Ah, who cares? Who cares? And they'll even mock a wise man. Hey, you goody-goody bunch. You don't do this. You don't do that. Oh, you just go to church and worship the Lord. Why? We're out here having fun. You should come have fun with us. Okay? But it's going to produce. It's going to cause results and consequences. And one of the biggest follies of a fool is he doesn't know he's a fool. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand his way. Fools live for the moment, not for what's going to be produced by what I do in the moment. Just do what's in front of me now. Live for the moment. This is how I feel, what I want to do. And then when the consequences come later on, very often through spiritual laws being activated, then they fall on their face and cry and say, why did that happen to me? Why am I going through all this? Why this? Why that? Why that? Mm-hmm. Amen. We've all been there at times.
Why is God doing this?
Why is God doing this? Me, I ain't doing it to you. You activated laws by yielding to things that were contrary to the paths that God was pointing you on. But a wise person understands that and doesn't let those things in the first place. And this is how one of the ways the fear of the Lord begins to play out in our lives. As the word begins to take root, we govern our lives by the code of the word through understanding. This is what God wants us to understand. It's one of the benefits of the new covenant is he doesn't just say, do this, don't do that. But he in Ephesians, pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, wisdom and revelation, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God wants us to have understanding of our ways and to why he says don't do things, why he says live a certain way. Yeah? And that's why he teaches us about sowing and reaping and the effect things have, a spiritual effect on our lives. Let's read this one. Proverbs 19:16. This is I made reference to this a moment ago, and let me give you the verse. When you understand this, you begin to realize by choosing godliness, you are protecting yourself and your future. And very often, your kids and your family and your generations after you. Remember last week we saw that. Okay? Proverbs 19:16 says, he who keeps the commandment. Now we've already seen that the fear of the Lord keeps the commandment, haven't we? Wisdom keeps the commandment. So a wise person who fears the Lord keeps the commandment. Put that all in there. What happens? It says, you keep the commandment, what do? He keeps his soul. Now, at first glance, you'll think, well, that means I'm going to heaven, my soul's saved. Let's dig into this. Keep that word, the first word keeps the commandments, I didn't really look up, but the second word, which says he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, that word, that second word keep there has to do with protect. To keep watch over, to be on one's guard. It's got to do with protecting something. Protecting what? Protects his soul. Well, the word soul there, it can be used in a general sense to talk about the soul of man, but it also has to do with, it speaks of yourself, your life, and it includes your mind, your emotions, and your inner being. Put that in there. He who keeps the commandments keeps watch over and protects his emotions, his mind, his entire being. You're protecting yourself. Protecting yourself from what? From dangers, from threats. Because you understand your way and you're keeping the, you're doing it out of understanding. I'm abiding by the code, fearing the Lord, abiding by the way he says to operate. That will protect me. From what would be the opposite? Well, the opposite is the fool who doesn't consider the fact that they need to protect themselves, protect their emotions, protect their will, and they just do whatever they want. They yield to things, do things, and it has an effect. They don't realize the effect often when they're doing it. Amen? So what are you doing? You're protecting. Now notice what it says. It says, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. What does it say? The opposite. But he who is careless of his ways will die. Well, it's not the wise person who's careless of his ways. It's the fool who's careless of his ways. One translation says reckless. He who is reckless in his ways. The original word there has to do with despise. Despises his ways will die. In other words, there's consequences. Sorry, I mean, despises his ways or is reckless in his ways. Well, what did we see about the wise man? The wise man understands his ways. He lives in a way now that's going to cause the correct consequences. Whereas a fool does whatever he wants right now, despises his ways, and then can't figure out why the consequences happen. He doesn't protect his soul, doesn't protect himself. And I'm not, when I say protecting yourself, I'm not talking about putting walls up to protect yourself. I'm saying the way you're living is protecting you. The godliness becomes your protection. Amen? But it says here that he's reckless with his ways. The word reckless has got to do with not aware of the consequences of your actions. Someone who's reckless. They'll just do whatever, not aware of what it's going to do in their lives and the damage it's going to cause. That's a fool. Amen? I'm not just talking natural damage. You open doors to things emotionally, spiritually in your life. You give the Bible talks about don't give the devil a foothold. Sometimes he gets a foothold by things we don't realize he got a foothold in. And once he's got that foothold and it shows up later on, then we're like, oh, devil, I rebuke you. How come the enemy got in? You gave him a foothold because you were reckless in your ways. It's a bit of a strong message, isn't it, today?
Yeah.
But see, wisdom says the fear of the Lord is priority. I'm going to live by the fear of the Lord and abide by it. I'm going to depart from things that are going to cause me damage, my life damage. Do we want things in our lives damaged?
No.
Don't wait for the damage and then say, Lord, help. He loves you and he's merciful. He can help. But rather not get the damage in the first place by doing things. So make the right choices and decisions and depart from things. God says, come out of that. Don't do that. Don't live that way. And you live by the code. It reflects the fear of God in your life. Just because the guy next to you, the guy at work, the people, other non-Christians, even Christians, not all Christians want to live right. Amen? Let me give you a quick example of someone who was reckless in his ways and he despised. a man called Esau. Let's look at him in the New Testament quickly. Hebrews 12. You were probably thinking, who's he going to come up with? Okay, Esau. Let's look at this. Not everything in the Old Testament is referred to in the New Testament. And as minor as this passage seems in the Old Testament, it's actually brought up in the New Testament. What happened? Let's refresh you quickly. One day, Esau's been out hunting. He was a hunter, and he didn't catch anything, and he's hungry. Now, Esau was the firstborn, and God had made many promises for the firstborn. But Esau was hungry, and he gets in, and his brother Jacob, wasn't it, had cooked a stew or something. And all that mattered to Esau right then was, I want the stew. He had to have something now. What I want now. So what did he do? Jacob tricked him. Deceived. Well, tricked him. I mean, it was his own stupidity that tricked him, really. And he said to him, give me your birthright. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to say Jacob is the devil, but you know the devil does that. He will give you something very enjoyable now, and you have no idea the bigger thing he's taking from you. Yeah? Now let's read this in the New Covenant, what it says here, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. How does bitterness get there? Sometimes through unforgiveness, sometimes through letting things fester, not yielding to God's love. And it festers inside of you, becomes bitterness. And what happens? It causes trouble. Causes who trouble? The person you're not forgiving? No, you. Damages you. Lest it cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Here it is. Who for one morsel of food, one morsel of food. And you might think, what's wrong with a bit of food? Well, you also might think, what's wrong with a quick lie? Or you might think, what's wrong with a quick one-night stand? There's nothing wrong, I'll get over it tomorrow. One. How many morsels of food? Was this 3 weeks worth of morsels of food he got? One. Sold out. One morsel of food. Sold his birthright. He did not understand his ways. Was that birthright far more valuable than that one morsel? He valued what he could get right now, the enjoyment, the pleasure he got now, and he had no idea how much he gave up to get it. That's foolishness. A fool doesn't understand his way. A fool despises his way. He's reckless. He lives without awareness of consequence. I just need something now. It's what I feel like now. It's what you know, like I said, I'm in a rough place. I really just want to go and have a bit of fun. Let my hair down. I'm not trying to point at anyone, yeah? Do you understand? I'm not pointing any fingers like. But this is what he's saying here. This is the difference between wisdom. I'm not talking about whether God loves you. I'm not talking about any of that today. I'm talking about how a wise person behaves. A wise person begins to order their lives in the right, make the right decisions now. And how you do things. Yeah, well, then it says here, for one morsel of food sold his birthright, something far more valuable. Then it says, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, notice that phrase. When he wanted to inherit the blessing. You know what? Suddenly, at a later point in his life, that birthright became important to him. He despised it. Yeah. Now, suddenly, he wants it. Too late. In his case, too late. There's some things you despise, and you just mess around with, and then suddenly you later you go, oh Lord, I want, and you suddenly, and it doesn't say God withheld it from him. No, it says he found no place for repentance. It doesn't say God didn't forgive him. It's not necessarily God is withholding something from him. But he was willing to give something up. Some things, you sacrifice the godly thing, give it up, and then later on when you want the benefit of it in your life and it becomes important to you, then you suddenly wonder, why am I not getting the benefit of it? That's what Esau did. It was this major what he did. Over what? One morsel of food. Something not that important. Yeah? He sought it diligently with tears. Now suddenly it became important to him. Now suddenly he wanted it. But was it too late in his instance? It's too late. See, when he wanted what was right in front of him, the consequence meant nothing to him. The price he would have to pay to get what he wanted now, lived recklessly. And then later on, now he can't get it.
Pleasure of the moment.
What did they give up? I mean, what did Adam and Eve give up by taking a bite of that fruit?
It cost us all, didn't it?
I was going to say.
One bite of a fruit. Did it cost? If it wasn't for Jesus paying the price.
Yeah.
One bite each. I mean, I'm assuming one bite each of a piece of fruit. What did Jesus say to Jesus? Just bow down to me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Just one act. Just yield. Just do one little thing for me. This is how the enemy works. The enemy knows the consequences it's going to cause, but he wants you blinded to it. So a wise person understands their way and orders their life right now. Hi. Even if you may be not aware of what are the consequences. Maybe you think, I don't know what the consequences of doing wrong is. You've chosen to live by a code of the word. For example, the word says, don't lie. What if I can't figure out how lying is going to damage? Does it mean just do it? No? I go by the code. Yeah? Or whatever else. I'm just using lying as an example. Other things. I said, we've all done it. We've all been fools at times. Amen? If it wasn't for the mercy of God, I wouldn't be able to stand here because I've been a fool many times. Amen? We all have. But God wants us to learn to grow to get it right. Does the Bible teach that there are consequences for how we live?
Yeah.
Are there godly consequences? Are there good consequences? There are, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Living, sowing to the things of God in your life doesn't always necessarily produce right away, but there are incredible godly benefits. For example, and this, I think this was said, I don't know if you said this or I sensed this in worship, I can't remember where it was, but when we were just praising the Lord there, I just really sensed that how much God wants to release His glory and just how valuable the glory is. Just, you know what? How much did Lucifer give up? He's the ultimate giver-upper and he wants to sit on your shoulder and tell you to give things up. He didn't learn his lesson, did he?
He's the biggest fool.
He gave up being in the glory. That was a massive cost. You have no idea the value of the glory of God in your own life and then flowing through you. How God wants to flow and manifest His glory in us and the incredible benefit of what that'll do in your life. But even like I said, other benefits, just peace in your home, peace in your family, just, oh God, I don't even, you know, amen? So there are the consequences to doing it right. See, the enemy wants us in a mentality Do whatever you want and repent later. That's become a popular mentality in Christians. It feels good. I'm just going to do it. It's all right. God will forgive me and we can just repent. Yes, it's true. There's forgiveness and you can repent. But that's not how a wise person lives. That's how a fool lives. We need to graduate past that level of Christianity. We understand the grace of God. We understand there's repentance. We understand confess your sins. We understand the blood of Jesus. We appreciate that because we do mess up. But don't use that as a way to excuse messing up and just do it anyway. Begin to realize the Bible says living godly is an important, is profitable. That's the word I'm looking for. So a wise person understands their ways. Amen? Is this all right with you? Wise person lives by God's code. Let me see if there's any more that I want to bring out here quickly. God's the command of God, the word of God becomes the code that points the direction. This is how to do it. This is how to do it. This is how to do it. And when a wise person has come to the place because they fear the Lord and they give the word that precedence where they say, I'm going to live by the code. If the word says, don't do it, don't do it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't live this way. Don't yield to these things. That's how the fear of God begins to show up in your lifestyle. Let me think about the love commandment for a moment. Are we commanded? Is that a commandment? Is it a suggestion to walk in love? It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. That is the New Testament command. New commandment I give unto you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Is walking in love an option for a person who's operating in the fear of God?
No,
because they live by a code.
Yeah.
The code has already determined how I'm going to respond. So when I resist forgiving a person, am I living by the code? The commandment's already told me what to do.
Yeah.
What if I don't feel like doing it? What if I don't feel like walking in love right now? The code already says do it. A wise man understands his way. The more you resist operating by the code, the more you start yielding to the way of a fool. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, it says love them, forgive them.
Yeah.
So it's not a choice anymore. If it's still a choice to a person to obey God, they're not walking in the fear of God. Jesus is not truly their Lord. That's a strong statement, though,
yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
If I am walking in the fear of God, I have already made up my mind, I will do it as the word says I will do it. And he said, walk in love. So what happens when I'm in a situation where someone does me wrong? What happens if someone lies to me? What happens if someone cheats? What happens if someone doesn't treat me right? I can hold to what my flesh wants. I can say the code says, the word says, and I'm going to choose the fear of the Lord and I'm going to understand my way. Doesn't mean it's easy. You might have to really work at it.
Jesus said on the cross, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is. I mean, here's Stephen being stoned and he's praying for forgiveness of the one stoning him. I mean, that's pretty extreme. But you know what? He understood. Yes, he wanted them forgiven. He also understood the power of what that's going to do in him. He's about to step into eternity. He wants to go in walking in love.
Yeah.
He want to go into eternity with one last act of, how dare you? Okay, he's dead now. That's how he entered eternity. Well, God would love him if he went in like that. Yeah, but he had a bigger revelation of some things. He was full of the word, full of the spirit. God flowed through this man. His last act on this earth was an act of love. That's how he entered eternity. What better way? You might think, well, you know, what benefit is that going to be? I'm telling you, it's benefiting him right now in eternity.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Whew, okay. Oh, there's other verses, but we don't have to go into all of them right now. Proverbs, let me read some of these. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Favor. The favor of God gets released into your life. Is favor a good thing?
Yes.
Favor is a good thing when you understand favor.
Yeah.
Favor is preference. being given preference with things. When someone gives you favor, you get the bigger piece of meat. Yeah? They cut the cake, and you get the bigger portion. That's how favor shows up. Okay? That's little examples. What happens when favor shows up in your life in bigger things, and there's just favor coming your way? How does this work? Is it just because I want it to work? No, it works according to these principles. Among the upright, there's favor. This is a benefit of living by the code. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Folly, foolishness, is joy. Oh, it's fun. Let's do it. But it says that person is destitute. Destitute means they're completely lacking in what? Discernment. And that's connected to understanding. We might talk about discernment at some point. But a man of understanding does what? Walks uprightly. Put this together with what we said. A man of understanding, a man of wisdom, understands his ways. Each step he takes, he has understanding of consequence, what it's going to cause. So he walks uprightly because he has understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Probably not the message you expected you were going to get today. But this is all part of wisdom, isn't it? This is part of wisdom. And this is beginning to look more and more in our lives. This is why it's not like, oh Lord, I have to, I'm being legalistic. It's about saying God has given us revelation of understanding, and he reveals how things work. And we make a decision whether we want to work it right or whether we want to be a fool and flop around and mess up and allow things into our life. It's work. Let's go back to the one where I said there, talks about the man who keeps his soul, protects. Guard themselves. You can protect your life. Like I said, I'm not talking about putting walls of protection up around yourself. I'm talking about letting things in that are going to harm you and damage you emotionally. Do you know there's some things you can do that even though you repent of it, you'll remember it the rest of your life still. And the devil will play on those memories in you. You didn't protect yourself. You let it in. And it becomes something the enemy uses in your life. Amen?
The Hebrew talks about hedging.
Hedging. A hedge.
It's a hedge of protection.
Hedge of protection.
Yeah. That's the Hebrew word there. That's very powerful.
That is, it's a hedge. You build a hedge of protection around yourself. Do you know God does this? Yeah. When I was, you know, I taught a while back on, I did some stuff on holiness a couple of years ago on the courses online. And I realized one of the things about holiness, you know, holiness is being set apart and separate unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Holiness is not first lifestyle. Holiness is understanding I am set apart and separated. And because I am set apart and separated, I'm not for common use. Yeah? And therefore, understanding I am holy then affects my actions. It's not my actions that make me holy. It's understanding I am holy. I have been set apart. When I was studying this, I realized God doesn't just tell us to be holy. What does he say? Be holy
as I am holy. Yeah.
There's the key. Yeah. God lives this way. Yeah. Do you know God protects himself? Yeah. I thought about this one time. Why did he throw Lucifer out of heaven? He was contaminated, and the contamination needed to get out. Because if it didn't get out, it would spread. It's not that he didn't love him, but there are things God won't allow in his throne room. Heaven is pure. It's clean. Why won't God let certain things in? Because he knows the damage they cause. Why did he throw Adam and Eve out the garden? Is it because he didn't love them? Protecting something. He told them to protect it. When they let it in them, they had to go. God protects his environment. And when certain things try to get in or do get in through someone, sometimes the person who let it in is the one who has to go. And it's not that God doesn't love them. God keeps his entire environment in heaven pure, clean, and holy. And he abides in glory. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any death? Is there any poverty? That shows you the benefits right there.
The streets
are
lined with gold.
Streets paved with gold. Such pure gold that it's transparent. You read about the beauty of heaven, the cleanness of heaven. You realize this God doesn't let a dust particle in there. Why? Is that just because he's a goody-goody? God does everything by wisdom and understanding. He knows what happens when you let it in. What happened to the natural world when it got let in? It corrupted the entire system. Didn't just get in Adam and Eve. Through sin, death entered. Once death came in the door, it spread. And the Bible says the whole of creation is yearning and groaning because of what was let in. Do you really think God wants heaven like that? He protects. He doesn't let it in. And he teaches his kids to be the same. Don't let it in and then repent. Now, he gives us mercy because we're growing and he helps us along the way and there's cleansing again. Yeah? Why do you think, I didn't even think I was going along the lines of some of the things about holiness, but it's all right with you. Why do you think the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit and demon spirits are often called unclean spirits? Cleanness. Living clean. Living pure is good. It begins to enable incredible goodness and godliness and glory and all kinds of things in your life. You just look at God as the example. Has God aged a day in the last millennia? Has he ever had a cough? Why do you think? He doesn't let death in. He protects himself. His whole environment is protected. I thought to myself, do you know the cherubim? Mm-hmm. You know, there's different angels, seraphim, cherubim. People often say, well, you know, the seraphim are the praise angels, but then they say, well, the cherubim, they're the praise angels. And I'm like, what's the difference between the cherubim and the seraphim? Okay? Do you know the cherubim is the only angel God allowed representation of in the tabernacle?
Yes. Yeah.
No seraphim in there. Yeah. He didn't say put any angel image in you want, but the cherubim specifically were put in there, and I think woven into the fabric. Also, two cherubim over the Ark of the Covenant. What's their role? What are they? The Ark of the Covenant represented the glory and the presence of God. Who are the cherubim?
They're protectors.
They are guardians. Their role, people say their role is praise. Their role was the protection of the throne room. Why would God have a protective army in the throne room if there wasn't a threat that could get in? Why would he need to protect it? Do you see, God builds protection into how he operates. That protection was there before man was around. He won't let an ounce of darkness into his throne room. Not because he's legalistic, because he understands his ways. He abides by wisdom. This is why what the devil did was so serious, because the devil was not just any angel. He was an anointed cherub. People often emphasize he had the role of worship. Actually, he had the role of protecting the glory of God. He became the threat when his role was the protector. Because of what he led into himself. Okay, and that's another whole story I want to get into, and then he got thrown out. But why did God, before or ever since eternity, when he even created the angels, why did he create protectors in the throne room? What's the point of it? If it wasn't possible for a threat to get in there. God built protection into his entire existence. He doesn't let darkness into himself. He doesn't let darkness into his environment. Yeah, threw them out. It's not just because he's punishing them. Yeah, okay, there's that aspect of it, but he won't let it in. They couldn't stay. Because if it was in them and they stayed, it would spread in the environment.
Well, they took so many with them, didn't they? Took so many
yeah. Women. But do you see what I'm saying here? What I'm teaching about, a wise man protects his soul.
Yeah.
That's what the word in Proverbs talks about. Keep your heart, guard, protect.
Yeah.
Be aware of what you're letting in and the damage it causes. And a wise man does this by understanding and wisdom, because that's how our Father does it. And he gives us the wisdom as well to begin to understand. The more godly, the cleaner our lives, the more the good things flow. The river of life, the river of blessing. Amen? But the enemy says, get those things quickly yourself and the pleasure and enjoyment by doing whatever you want now. Sell it for all for a morsel of bread. It's not worth it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the importance and power of these truths. Lord, I thank you. Help us to get a greater revelation of this, Lord. Help us to get a greater understanding of how important this